Hi, everybody. I'm Sarah Huffman.
And I'm Jen Klee.
And this is Non-Trad Undergrad, a podcast about non-traditional college students done by two non-traditional college students.
We're excited today.
Yeah, this is our second episode.
Yeah, and we are actually interviewing somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her name is Regina Terry.
Mm-hmm. She's
and
awesome.
She's so sweet.
We love her.
Absolutely.
We met her through Retro Rams, which is a is the organization that just started at VCU for non-traditional students. And we put the word out that we were doing this podcast, and she was one of the first people that volunteered to help out, and we love her for it. So,
absolutely.
One thing that I think is kind of important for you all to know is that we are trying to kind of front load some episodes.
Yep.
It's June right now, and we're hoping to like launch officially this podcast around August, maybe the end of August when the beginning of the fall semester starts. And we'd like to have, try to have like four or five episodes sort of in the can and sort of ready to go. If we don't release them all at once, then, but they'll at least be ready to go. And so that's why, you know, obviously I'm sure you all can relate, like the idea, like in case, you know, life happens, if somebody gets sick or we just are just so busy with school or whatever, well, there won't be any huge interruption. So if we talk about like summary things and you're listening to this and it's sort of like September and you're like, hey, what are you talking about? That's what we're talking about.
Because it's currently June and we're recording in June.
Yes.
So that is why.
Yeah. It's June.
Yeah.
Regina, thanks so much for like coming and talking to us.
You're welcome. It was nice to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are our first real episode.
Woo.
Yeah. So no pressure.
No pressure, right? not feeling the pressure.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. One thing that we forgot to do, because the one thing that I want to do to set up each interview is have you tell us your name,
mm-hmm.
where you go to school,
mm-hmm.
what your major is, and when you think you're going to graduate or when you feel like you're going to graduate, probably.
Okay. And I would say for naming the school is, even though we're used to calling it VCU, an audience doesn't know what VCU means.
So it's still new.
At least sometimes spell it out, and then you can keep referring to it as VCU after that.
Yeah.
You know, just like people from like when this Ohio would call it OU. You know?
Right. Yeah. When this podcast is really famous, then everyone will know what VCU
right.
is.
Yeah.
But until then, yeah.
2 million listeners.
Yeah.
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 I after high school, I had gone to Virginia Tech, but that's the short name. It has this really long mouthful of a name.
Yeah.
It's like
Virginia
Polytechnic Institute and State University.
That's crazy.
That's why I'll only stick to probably Virginia Tech.
Yeah. And I think Virginia Tech, people know that.
People know that.
That's
yeah.
what it's called everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if you said Virginia Polytechnic, people would be like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Is that next to Virginia Tech?
it's the community college.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So my name is Regina Terry. I go to VCU, which is short for Virginia Commonwealth University. My major, I started out as biology, but I just recently changed to interdisciplinary studies. But I'm still doing biology and I'm doing world studies in that major.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And I should be able to graduate next spring.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
Samesies.
Yeah.
I know. Everybody's leaving me. I still have like 2 years left. So take me back to when you were like 17, 18 years old and kind of what was going on with you school-wise.
Okay. So towards the end of high school, when I was 17 or 18, I was on that typical track of applying to colleges, trying to figure out what I wanted to study. At the time, I wanted to do engineering, and that was a big part of why I wanted to go to Virginia Tech, was because they have a really good engineering school. VCU was my second choice, like I almost went there, but I had wanted to do civil engineering, and VCU doesn't have civil engineering here.
Yeah. What is civil engineering?
So civil engineering is basically building stuff like buildings, bridges, roads.
Oh, cool.
Sort of an inside joke with different engineering majors is probably how we might describe what we like to do. Like civil engineering, we like things to stay still.
Okay.
And then mechanical engineering, they like things to be moving.
Okay.
So it's so with civil engineering, we build things that like to stay still. So we have to build them in a way that keeps them still.
From not moving.
Yeah, from not moving, yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, yeah, stuff like that. It might be involved. It might do stuff like home building also.
Okay. So, civil engineering.
Yeah.
They had it at Virginia Tech. They didn't have it at VCU.
Yeah.
So, you had your sights set on Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that was really the main factor why I went there instead of going to VCU. Mm-hmm. So, I went to Virginia Tech. For a while, I felt like engineering was really what I really wanted to do. So I stuck it out for at least a couple years, at least for the first 2 or 3 years of the program, and then realized it wasn't quite for me because I was, even though I was always good in math and science, I was struggling with like a lot of the upper engineering classes especially, and plus it seemed like with some of the teachers, they were hired more for like the research than how well they can teach.
Mm.
So that would made it a bit harder too.
And
there might be other students who might feel the same way about, like, who might notice the same thing with some other teachers. That and tech is a very big research school.
Okay.
So
it's big too,
it's
right? Isn't it
big,
like really big?
Yeah,
it's,
a big school.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're not. Are they as big as VCU though?
I don't know.
Are we bigger?
I don't know. We'll have to Google that
yeah.
at some point. Are you gonna
She's
grab?
Gonna Google that. Yeah.
Jen's gonna grab her laptop.
I'm gonna Google that.
Okay.
Okay.
Jen's gonna Google it. Let's keep talking.
Okay. So then I got to a point where I realized, okay, this clearly isn't for me because I'm struggling with some of the things
mm-hmm.
in engineering.
And you were, like, traditionally aged.
Yeah, I was
right?
traditionally
you
aged.
Were, like,
yeah.
18
I started
whatever.
At 18.
Yeah.
You know, I was, I was in that same age group as a lot of other traditional
mm-hmm.
students,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Okay.
But then I decided to change majors. But I still had no idea what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
but I still wanted to finish with something. So,
sure.
By the time I decided to change majors, I already had a minor in Spanish.
Okay.
And then to complete the Spanish major there, I only had to take, I think, three or four classes to be able to graduate.
Oh, cool.
So I thought, okay, well, this is perfect. I can finish in just one more semester.
Yeah.
Now I didn't finish in the usual 4 years. I had taken one or two semesters off.
Mm-hmm.
While I was still figuring out what, you know, my whole major stuff.
Yeah.
So I ended up finishing in 5 years instead of four.
Okay.
Because of that. But once I realized that I could finish a Spanish major really quickly, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to jump on this. And I did that also because my family's Hispanic, so I grew up learning Spanish. I thought this is going to be probably easy for
mm-hmm.
me. It's just finish. So I did end up graduating from Tech, but
mm-hmm.
it was just like I just had
with a Spanish major.
Yeah, with a Spanish
okay.
major.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of those things where, like, it's just to have a degree and don't really know. So I took
sure.
it. So then after that, I was lucky enough to get a job right away after college. But, yeah, so I've worked for maybe, I'd say, at least maybe, I'd say 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
What'd
you do?
So I worked, I first worked at a company that builds wind turbines.
Okay.
So that was kind of cool. It was a company that, excuse me, that was headquartered in Spain. So I could use, like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
kind of perfect.
Yeah.
That
so
is
it was,
really cool.
It was pretty cool because, like, it was because it's kind of engineering company.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
It was kind of useful that I had taken engineering classes before.
Sure.
And that it was helpful to have my Spanish degree.
Yeah.
Especially because about a third of the office were employees from their Spain headquarters. So
oh, wow.
It was cool to be able to use that Spanish I knew
yeah.
to work with them. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of them were learning English. It was almost like
working
two-way.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
cool.
awesome. That's nice.
So that was pretty cool. I worked there for a couple of years. Unfortunately, the office where I was working closed.
Mm.
So, and then I've kind of jumped from like part-time job to part-time job, whatever I could find. I did get to work at, so I was living in Chesapeake, which is about a couple hours away from Richmond, near Virginia Beach, and I did get to work for a while at the zoo that's over there, and I had worked there because while I was working for this engineering company, I started volunteering at the zoo. At first, it was just to meet people,
because mm-hmm.
I didn't really know, I barely knew anyone there. I hadn't met my husband yet, so I thought I'll meet people. But then I started, as I started volunteering, I thought this is like something really cool if I could work with animals or something. So then I eventually, shortly after my husband and I got married, I decided to go back to school because I thought, okay, if the whole animal wildlife thing is something I want to do, then I'm kind of like, I want to commit to going back to school.
Yeah.
And getting something that I really want to get a degree in.
Yeah.
So,
that's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is
so,
cool.
Shortly after I got married, I first started at the community college just there. Because A, I was still working for time. I needed, more something, just class schedule that was flexible. Luckily, I was able to take a lot of my classes online, which was awesome. I think the only time I had to go on campus was for a lab. So that was like just once a week in the evening.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. And then I went there and then I transferred to ODU first, Old Dominion University. And I was doing the marine biology concentration of their biology degree there. And I had started taking a few classes there, but then my husband got a job in Richmond, so we moved here. But I still wanted to continue my degree, so that's when I decided to transfer to VCU, and
nice.
That's where I am now.
So you're getting a whole new undergraduate degree, or like how does that work? Because since you already have a degree, how does that work with like coming back and taking more classes? Like, are you working towards a new degree?
Yeah, so okay. I'm working towards a new bachelor's degree.
Okay.
And the one I already have has helped a lot because a lot of the, all the like gen ed stuff for like freshman, sophomore level stuff has been waived for me.
Oh, nice. It's
because, even though.
Yeah, that's really awesome because for myself coming back, that was a question I had is would all my gen eds transfer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really cool that, for both of us, that all of that stuff did transfer.
Yeah.
And it made getting our degree now a lot easier. Mm-hmm.
And I'll just chime in too because I had because I went to college for like a semester and a half and then I quit before they could kick me out for failing. And so I had some gen eds miraculously that like I didn't fail and that those transferred over. Like if you look at my degree works on the VCU website, like you can see like there's a couple classes like and the year is like 1997.
Yeah. And mine are like 2000 to 2003. So like even though these are pretty old credits, they're going to accept them and I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. That makes a huge difference.
So pardon my tangent.
Oh, while we're on the tangent, what is more what's a bigger school?
Google said Tech was bigger, and it hurt my feelings because I'm pretty sure we're big. We're at least comparable. We're the same. We're siblings in large student bodies.
In largeness.
I think with VCU, that we're probably like more spread out
than
Tech. Tech is more like all together on one big campus.
Yeah, I see. Okay, So how are you feeling about being back in school and being like an older student, and like a non-traditional student?
I have enjoyed being back in school. I'm one of those people who will probably be an eternal student, always finding a chance to go back to school.
It does make a huge difference, right, when you're older?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that I've noticed.
Yeah, it's how I view school as an older student is a lot different. How I manage, homework and time for classes, and it's a whole new perspective. I'm like, when you're 18, if you're going to college for the first time, you're kind of, legally, you're an adult. You're an adult to some extent, I feel more like an adult doing this. Mm-hmm. So, it feels more like a responsibility that I like to take on kind of thing. It's been interesting. At first, it seemed like a little bit of a culture shock with going to school with much younger students, and it's probably the best way I can describe that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
The most diplomatic way, too.
Most diplomatic. It's just a culture shock. And it's just, I realized that the things that, some of the little things I worried about at that age, I realize now it's not a big deal anymore. Like, there was one time I was in the bathroom and I heard these two girls who were in that 18 to 22 range. And one of them was venting about what sounded like some boy drama. And I'm like, that's something I would have worried about that age, but I don't worry about that. I'm married now, so I really don't have to worry about that. But even if I was single, I'd be like, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Like, drama, whatever.
Isn't that that to me is like the craziest thing, because I remember, we all do, being that age, mm-hmm. and like, yeah, the things that used to bother me at that age that just consumed my life mm-hmm. are now like, wouldn't even make a blip,
yeah.
I think, on my radar. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's the amount of living between being 18 and then being the age I am now. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's night and day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's, can I share something with you and yeah. get both of your opinion on something? Because okay. I'm in this class right now. It's an English class. And we are, you know, discussing like big issues, big topic issues like racism and sexism and transphobia and homophobia and mm-hmm. and like institutions of power and like things yeah. like ableism wow. and stuff. I mean, it's big. It's mm-hmm. big, intense issues. And it's a small class, and everyone's, except me, everyone's about 20 mm-hmm. years
yeah.
old. It's a lot of juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
21, maybe almost 22. But we had this, we were talking about like institutions of power and like as far as like in the university setting, mm-hmm. You know, things that can make things difficult or feel like you don't want to participate because it feels like such a hurdle to mm-hmm. get over. And like my example was financial aid, because
yeah.
that is like the bane of my existence. And like mm-hmm. trying to navigate financial aid online and then even going into the office is, can be frustrating. And so that was like my example. But one of the girls in the class, who I think, I want to say she's a junior, but she sort of got off on this tangent about professors and how her feeling is that there's a lot of professors that like don't respect the students. That was the word that came up a lot. Like, they don't respect the students and they treat them like they're in high school and make them put their phone away.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, if I want to be on my phone during class, I should be able to, because like, you know, they work for us. You know, I'm paying to be here. They work for us.
Oh.
And that's when she said that, like something, it was like my brain was like jello, and it was like you shook the plate and my brain just went blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Because I could not wrap my brain around that, because, and the thing was like, I've heard that before from other
yeah.
kids that age, where it's like, the entitlement that I think a lot of them feel.
I think that's
a
good word for it.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's, but it like.
Because, like, you, when we pay our tuition, we did not literally hire the professor to
right.
work for us.
Yeah.
We're
not
paying
directly.
For the privilege of being at this institution. And
yeah.
I think it's interesting that this one student would say, yeah, well, I feel like my professor disrespects me by making me put my phone away. And it's like, but you literally just disrespected everything your professor has had to do mm-hmm. to get to the point that he's in the front of the class, or he or she,
uh-huh.
they are uh-huh. in the front of the classroom and teaching college students, because that is not an easy, you don't just be like, oh, I'll just go be a professor. That
right.
you have to go through, you have to get your doctorate, you have to have continuing education, you have to have published articles and
done, yeah.
some
yeah.
books.
Yeah.
And so that... And also, like, if somebody is speaking to you, you shouldn't just be, like, on your phone scrolling.
Right.
And so, like, that's just basic respect level.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have some professors who they will see the phones,
mm-hmm.
but they don't say anything. And then what they'll do is dock your class participation grade.
Really?
Because it's even more disruptive for a teacher to say, put your phone away,
sure.
than it is to just ignore the disrespectful student.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I will add to the cell phone thing, my own personal story,
mm-hmm.
is somebody would be playing World of Warcraft in class.
Oh, my
God.
They
yeah.
sat in the front of the class on their laptop playing World of Warcraft in the class. But then if the teacher asked them a question, they could answer. But for me personally, it was a little bit distracting, just because
yeah.
I was like, oh my God. And then they would shop
yeah.
on eBay. They would plan their trips to conventions. they were like looking for hotels to go to like some Comic-Con up in New York City. It was just like,
oh my God.
They eventually dropped the class, and I don't know what all was going on there, but
yeah.
It was just like, it's college. You're paying to be here, and you know, we're paying for the privilege of these professors, their expertise,
right.
in order to get a degree and go out into the world.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think with some of these students, you might have some students, and I say some because I don't want to like generalize.
Sure,
but
of course.
Some students who like whose parents might help with paying for school.
For sure.
or they may not realize, I mean, or if like they have financially, they might think, well, it's not directly coming out of my own money.
Yeah.
So maybe that's that.
They're not feeling the responsibility.
Yeah, they're not feeling the responsibility of, or feeling like the real value of like what's being paid for. Coming to school. Yeah.
And I feel like too is like a lot of them come from local high schools, mm-hmm. and when you feed straight from high school to college, it can kind of just feel like an extension of what you've already done.
Yep.
And so you don't appreciate that you're in a different place with a completely different set of expectations and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Because I do run into that, like, especially with the younger students. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that a lot because it's generally the younger ones in my gen ed classes that I am finishing up that tend to be the ones with their laptops or phones out, not paying attention. Whereas once I get into the upper level courses, that's where people tend to be a lot more respectful.
Yeah, and I'm getting out of the gen eds and stuff that I have to, and like I took a 200 level class this summer in my major, and there was a fair amount of people like sneaking looks on their phones and stuff like that. But for the most part, everybody was pretty engaged, and that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause and then the other thing that makes me laugh too is like, and this still happens, not so much in the upper level classes, but I have noticed it, is like, especially with the younger ones, but like, yeah, I mean, they're still like raising their hand to ask if they can go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I think is really cute.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, on one hand, it's like, I totally get it. Because, if you're like 18, you've come straight from like high school where it's super regimented and there's so many rules and they have to keep so much order. And then you get here and there is this certain level of freedom. Then I can totally understand why somebody would be like, I should be allowed to be on my phone whenever I want.
Right.
But then it's like, and they also understand like the professor's point of view. It's like, yeah, but if you fail this class, your parents are going to call me and like yell at me for you failing this class.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
I think a good professor doesn't want any student to fail.
Of course.
And so they want you to be successful. And the other problem you have too is like when somebody hasn't been paying attention or hasn't been attending, then you get to the exams and they're all of a sudden like, help me now.
Right.
And it's like, well, you want present for the rest of the semester. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's kind of how that, and so like as a professor, like I don't have time.
Right.
Not that I am a professor, but I'm imagining myself to be one. I don't have the time to reteach you an entire course.
Right. Yeah. In 2 days, so that you don't completely fail the final, and then you haven't turned in any homework up until any assignments up until this point either, you know.
And I think things like this can help us learn how to be in the workplace too. I mean, not all the kids might realize this, but you know, if you're at work and you're in a meeting, it's not going to look professional if you have your phone out and you're, or if you're playing World of Warcraft in a meeting or at work.
Right.
I mean, and then also you're expected to do work. You're expected to do the work and not slack off.
They'll learn.
Yeah.
These kids will learn at some point.
They do.
I had to learn the hard way, you know. I mean, like, I didn't learn it being in college for a hot second, you know, so.
I guess I would say, because we're kind of talking about the youth and some of the disrespectfulness of some of the other students, I do want to put a plug in that I would say that the current college student body as a whole is a lot more aware of the world and of the world structures than I was when I went into college the first time. And they're incredibly smart, they're incredibly articulate, and they're incredibly passionate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really awesome. So once you get past the freshmen and sophomores and their shenanigans, once you start getting into upper classes, you get some really amazing, thoughtful people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I love it because I'm of course, learning from class, but I'm learning from them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible.
So. It has been really nice to be, like, if I was not in school, I would not be around so many people in their early 20s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to be around people in their early 20s and to see sort of the world through their eyes and to kind of get an idea of, like, what life is like for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it helps keep me and keep things in perspective for me.
Yeah.
Because I can see now, being 41 years old, like, how, when people get old and crotchety, how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you're not around young people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you're like a parent, but you're only around small people, you're only around little tiny people, you know, you're not really around people that are like entering into the workforce and, you know, becoming like members of society, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
And so you, like, I know for me, like, I have to work to, like, to keep my mind open and to see things from their perspective and to not be like, oh, that technology is stupid and, oh, it used to be so much better in my day and all that stuff. Because it's, mm-hmm. like, the age I am now is I can see where, like, I feel like for me it's happening and it's, like, I have to actively work against it to keep yeah. it from happening, you know? But, like, I'm choosing to do that because I want to stay relevant and I want to stay youthful and I want to care what they care about, mm-hmm. you know, because they're the ones who are inheriting this world, you yeah. know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that has been one of the unexpected, like, pleasures of coming to school at my age is to get the opportunity to be around young people,
yeah.
you know, without yep. sounding like an old lady, but, like, to be around young people and to, like, get to know them. And you're right. Like, I mean, even the girl that was like, these professors, they work for us. She's very smart and she's got a lot of really strong opinions. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of strong opinions when I was like 20 years yep. old, you know, but she's, you know, she's a cool chick. Mm-hmm. And I like being in class with her, you know.
That's awesome.
So mm-hmm.
very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Regina, yeah. what are you going to do with the rest of your day?
Because
you're not taking classes this summer, right?
I took an online class before we went on our trip.
Oh, nice.
And then actually have one that starts this week.
Oh, cool.
So
very nice. What yeah. classes?
So I took earlier in the summer, I took an Intro to Africana Studies class.
Ooh.
As part of my, like, world studies, part of my major.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to be starting up a class this week called Inventions of Evolution.
Ooh.
So,
those both sound really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So were they here at VCU or were they,
they're
like...
They're here at VCU.
Oh, very
wait
cool.
a minute. Inventions of Evolution.
Yeah.
What's that?
So,
That's interesting. I haven't heard that before.
So, it's about, I guess so far the best way I can probably describe it is it talks about certain things that, I guess, help propel evolution. Mm. And it's going off of, like, Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. So it's talking about, like, certain things that may have helped different organisms evolve into others kind of thing.
That is really neat.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would kind of geek out about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a book we have to read, and then it's basically kind of like a discussion class where we're reading this book, and so each week we discuss what we are reading in the book.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have to do it on, like, the discussion board on Blackboard or something like that, or, like, how is the class structured?
So it's so, we meet 2 days a week for about a month.
Oh, cool.
But we also have to do journal entries on Blackboard.
Okay.
So.
It's funny because, yeah, I started this whole process again at community college and then came to VCU. And when I came to VCU, I was like, I want in-person classes. I want the classroom experience. Mm-hmm. And now I'm starting to pivot back towards, wouldn't it be nice to have more online classes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel like there was something really nice about, like, you know, the beginning of the week, the professor sends the email or puts the announcement mm-hmm. up and says, here's what's due. And it's due Sunday night by midnight,
yeah.
or 11:59 p.m. or mm-hmm. something. And I got to do it when it was convenient for me.
Yeah.
And now being, like, the two classes that I'm taking this summer meet Monday through Thursday, and there's, like, little piecemeal assignments that are due every day, and I'm just not used to that. Like, I'm not used to doing, like, a little bit of homework this day and a little bit here and a little mm-hmm. bit there and stuff. It's like, and it's so structured, and it's like I have to, like, get to campus at this time, and I have to be in classroom this time, and I have to, like, and it really does, like, it's an adjustment that I really struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was not prepared for that. So yeah, I've pivoted now back towards, I wish there were more online classes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, when I had started at VCU, mm-hmm. luckily I was able to take one online class, and I was still, for most of the semester, I was working full time.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily I was able to take one class that was online for biology, and then I was able to take a class that was after work. Granted, the class was at 5:30
mm-hmm.
2 days a week, and I had to leave a little bit early from work and to get there because I had to, you know, give myself enough time for traffic.
Sure.
And
parking and walking.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all that stuff.
But yeah, and then with biology, there's I would say like 99% of the program, at least the biology program here, is on campus. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of hard trying to take classes, having to come to campus for that, and then trying to work whenever I have to work. Mm-hmm. And so it would be nice to have more online classes, especially for those of us that have, might have weird work schedules or just have to work, period. And that was something I really liked about when I started my journey at a community college, was that, like I said, I could take almost all my classes online, which was great.
It was.
And like you're saying, I can just do the work at my own pace. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could get it done by the by the end of the week.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good place for us to wrap this episode up. What do you think?
I think so too.
Nice.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to give it a like, subscribe, and tell all your friends about the Non-Trad Undergrad podcast.
And we are on social media. If you will give us a follow, we are Non-Trad Undergrad Pod on Instagram, and we are NTU Pod at Twitter, and we'll have that written down somewhere for you. And then also we have a Gmail address. We are nontraduntergradpod@gmail.com. Please reach out to us if you have a story that you want to share, either via email or if you maybe want to be on this podcast. We have the technology to make that happen. So we'd love to hear your story. Just reach out, because it can feel really isolating to be a non-traditional student. And this is kind of the reason why we started the podcast, was so that we could all feel connected in kind of a space that feels a little isolating. So reach out, share your story, tell your friends.
And we definitely appreciate feedback.
Yeah, for sure. So, bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for listening.